Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Tuesday night, March 1st, a little before 10:30 p.m. Wait, we don't do podcasts on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, it's March Madness.
Oh, it's
It's
Championship Week for your
March.
notebook. Welcome to March, everybody. I'm Chad Sherwood. David Griggs with us. John Stalica in crystal clear color with us. David
HD.
Dorman with us. We got Stalica HD on Hoops HD tonight. But we had this is Championship Week Video Notebook, the show where we let's see, what do we do on the show? I don't even know what we do on the show anymore.
We
what do we do on the show?
Update the survival board. We talk about conference tournaments.
Okay.
We review everybody that still has a chance to win it all.
Okay, and that is exactly what we're going to do, I guess. Let's start though with some news and notes. Last night we did record our final Hoops HD report of the season, which means for the next few days here until Sunday, we're gonna have some regular season games, and we're gonna, you know, at least discuss them a little bit here. A few games of note after we finished our Hoops HD report last night. Baylor picked up a huge road win at over. Was that a road? No, yeah, Baylor
no,
beat
it was
Texas.
A home. Yeah, they
no, they
won.
They
in
won
Texas.
In Austin.
They won in
they won
Austin.
in
Thank you.
Austin.
I can't read my notes anymore. Baylor won in Austin. Texas Tech won at home over K-State. At San Diego State, one at Wyoming. Those were the three really notable ones. First of all, Griggs, K-State, now sub below 500. Do you still think they're a tournament team?
Yes. If
okay.
it drives you crazy, absolutely.
but in all honesty here,
no.
the big one, I think, Dorman, was San Diego State's win at Wyoming that I think really pulled San Diego State off the bubble.
I'm absolutely with you. They had to have it. Wyoming had been perfect at home. They got the huge win. I think they're safely in. They don't need to do anything now next week in Vegas. I think I'm with you, Chad. They're safely in.
The big games tonight, Salika, began with the Villanova-Providence game, and it looks like it was going to be a Villanova thrashing. Providence tried to get back in it, though.
This was a game where I think Providence hit about 14 or 15 three-pointers, and they were hitting at about a 47% clip, but unfortunately for the Friars, they tried to intentionally miss a free throw, but ended up making by accident, and Villanova ended up hanging on.
Yeah, and Griggs, the major upset of the night, away from the conference tournaments, actually, I think the wager for the night anywhere, was Nebraska doing something that they weren't able to do under Tim Miles. They won at Ohio State.
Well, I mean, again, his influence, his pull, is still paying dividends. All across the conference, but Ohio State, ever since their big road win, has kind of been on the decline a little bit. This is kind of their second stinker in a row. Now they're in no danger whatsoever of not making the field, but their seed, which was looking about 5-ish, 6-ish, is now kind of maybe looking below that. Not a good look.
No, it wasn't.
By the same token, it's a little strange that Nebraska now has two wins in a row, and could they have three wins in a row going in as the 14th seed in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah.
Who's the last game against?
Crickets.
Crickets. Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what. Well, I'll double check who that last game is. But Dorman, the other big game was.
I wasn't prepared to discuss Nebraska.
Nebraska is at Wisconsin. At Wisconsin on Sunday, actually, final day of the season. But Dorman,
what makes you think they're going to win that?
Stalica does.
Stalica.
Dorman, speaking of teams that have lost two in a row, though, how about Kansas loses again? This time at TCU tonight.
Yeah, not the time to hit the skids, as David just pointed out with Ohio State. Again, obviously safely in, but the one seed is slipping away, and now we're looking at two and possibly three if they don't get hot in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, and Griggs, I was kind of debating with you last night. I really didn't think Kentucky was one seed. I thought Kansas was there instead. I'm with you now. You know, you
yeah.
can't. I know winning at TCU is not easy, but if you want to be a one seed, you got to do it.
Yeah, and my biggest thing with Kansas, I think what separates them with Kentucky and has for a while, is Kentucky's road wins over protected seeds versus Kansas's, which are zero for Kansas. Kansas, I do It's debatable. Iowa State is probably in the top half of the bracket. That's the only team that's going to be wearing white that Kansas has beaten on the road. Kentucky's beaten Alabama. They've beaten Kansas. They've beaten some other – they got another one in there, don't they? That's really high. Alabama, Kansas. I thought they had another one. A really strong road one. Yeah. They do. They have a third. I just can't remember who it's against. I wasn't prepared to discuss
that. At Kansas, at Alabama, at A&M, at Vanderbilt, at South Carolina. They did beat North Carolina in neutral court, but no, they don't have that.
Yeah, North Carolina is not who I was thinking of. Okay,
it doesn't exist. They beat Tennessee at home. They beat LSU at home. They
maybe
swept Bama.
They didn't win at Tennessee, though.
Also, as we are recording this right now, VCU is putting the finishing touches on a complete thrashing of the Bonnies that may be the end of the Bonnies' at-large chances and really helping VCU get there. Michigan. Putting a thrashing on Michigan State that should put the Wolverines in real good shape here to for an at-large bid as well, I think. Let's get to the conference tournaments, I think. Enough of this nonsense. We've been Matt McCall out at UMass. Sleeka, you want to do a few minutes of that?
I was actually going to do that as a final thought.
Oh, then forget it.
The other hand, how happy is Pat Kelsey not to have taken that job? Because let's not forget, he accepted that job, and 24 hours later, he's like, nah, changed my mind, going back to Winthrop and ultimately Charleston.
I'll tell you what, before we get actually into tonight's conference tournament games, we did have a first one game last night. We had a preview show two nights ago, but there's something we forgot to do at the start of championship week. We let him off the hook for a couple of days here, but I think it's finally time think it is.
Send them.
No.
The doors are locked, Griggs. You're done. You are in the puppet bunker the rest of the way.
It's not necessary to do this because I'm a superstar basketball analyst. I don't want to be locked in a bunker.
Too late.
But that's something that can be rectified by a $20 bolt cutter. What happened to the Hoops HD budget this year?
I'll tell you what, for about $5, I'd let him out, but that's another story. let's actually go through the card. Let's start in the Patriot League, which only had the two games tonight. And here are the Patriot League bracket. Let's start at the bottom game because we saw both road teams win, though. A Dorman starting with American. They picked up the win at Holy Cross in a game that I thought was a pretty good game most of the way.
It was. They were up 4 at halftime. American, they held off a late surge by Holy Cross. I thought Holy Cross would actually be able to win this game on their home court, but it wasn't to be. And American moves on, and now we'll go play at Navy.
At Navy. And in the other game, Stalika, Lafayette and Bucknell played three times this season. All three times, the games went overtime. It is. For the third time this season, three OTs, not triple overtime, but three OTs, but Bucknell puts an end to Fran O'Hanlon's career.
Yep, Fran O'Hanlon ended up winning, four Patriot League crowns, but it wasn't enough to help carry the Leopards this time. And I think Bucknell actually hit the go-ahead shot with 15 seconds to go. Lafayette had a couple chances with under 5 seconds remaining, but couldn't get off a good shot. And the Bison now move on to Colgate.
Yep, they are going to be playing the Colgate Raiders. Those games will be coming up Thursday. We have a day off in this conference. But Griggs, any other thoughts on the Patriot League here? These two games that were pretty good, both of them.
Yeah, both games pretty good tonight. I still like Colgate to just kind of. I just think they're just going to blast Bucknell. Same with Navy. If they get up by 20 points in the second half, you know that the game's not actually over, but it probably is against American.
Go ahead, Dorman.
Colgate shoots the three so well. If they can't defend the three, Colgate will, I agree with Griggs, just bury them. They just shoot the ball extremely well.
Yeah, we'll take a closer look at those four games tomorrow night when we preview the Thursday's games. But the Horizon League tonight, it was first round night. Let's start with the game on the top there, Griggs, because IUPUI did something that hasn't been done in years tonight, despite losing.
So IUPUI has been riddled with injuries and other issues. The roster got what you might call a little depleted. And they were down to just six players. they tried having open tryouts to just fill up some rosters and get some guys that they could practice with, but I guess they didn't find anybody that they thought they could put out there. They had five players available tonight. So it had been over 10 years, and this is props to Greg Pomeroy for pointing this out. It had been over 10 years since a team had played an entire game without making a substitution. IUPUI did that tonight. And I'll tell you what, though, for about 30 minutes, they had it within 5 or 4 points. They just ran out of gas, but they did battle.
Yeah,
give them a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say all in all here, though, the other three games, Stalica, first of all, Detroit, Green Bay was never in that game. After about 5 minutes into the game, I thought it was just a complete thrashing there, right?
Yeah, that one ended up being a thrashing. And then I'm wishing I hadn't given up on Youngstown State and Robert Morris, because the Colonials had, I think, as big as an 18-point lead and nearly let that slip away.
Yeah, I mean, if Youngstown State had about 3 or 4 minutes of this game, they would have won it. They came storming back, but they were just so far down that Robert Morris was able to hold on. The final game, Dorman, UIC keeps their Horizon League time alive for one more day. Having to go on the road to do it, despite being the higher seeded team, the better seeded team. They went to Milwaukee and got the win.
Yeah, they started off a little slow, but by halftime they seemed to have their footing. And in the second half, they really took control. They really got down on defense and really put a stop to anything that Milwaukee wanted to do tonight, and hit a few shots down the stretch. And it wasn't really close. UIC handily tonight.
Right. Again, we'll be taking a look at those next games tomorrow night. But as you can see the bracket there, there is a reseeding. So Robert Morris is going to be going to Cleveland State. UIC is going to be going to Fort Wayne.
But good luck there.
Over in the A-Sun, which featured the game of the night in the bottom game there. Let's start with the Stetson at Central Arkansas. Central Arkansas playing their first ever A-Sun tournament game, having come over from the Southland.
Yeah.
Greg, do you want to talk a little bit about this game? Because this was a hell of a game and a hell of a finish.
Yeah, back and forth, high emotion. Central Arkansas got the lead. The students were out in full force.
Incredible atmosphere there, really. I never realized how good really, atmosphere Central Arkansas had for basketball. It really was.
For the Scottie opening Pippen round of Center. The A-Sun. Yeah, the Scottie Pippen Center was hopping tonight. So Stetson, Central Arkansas hit a shot in the final seconds to go ahead. Stetson had the ball.
It was Colin Cooper for Central Arkansas. Hit a three to give a 1-point lead with about 8 seconds left, giving Stetson the ball with a chance to win.
Yeah, and they got fouled, and it was
two free throws
because they were in the double bonus, and you know Central Arkansas is beside themselves. How did this happen? He missed the first one, he missed the second one. They got the rebound and almost had a chance to tip it in, were unable to do it, and time ran out, and the students ran onto the floor for their big opening round win against Stetson.
The court story, Christian Jones, you gotta feel bad for Christian Jones actually for Stetson, missed two free throws, but as you said, they actually got a tip in off the second missed free throw that just bounced off the rim and didn't go. It was a hell of an end. If you didn't watch it, go back and watch that game.
Yeah.
Especially the last 5 minutes of it. Dorman, how about some of these other games that went on tonight here? We saw the home team win in all three of those as well.
Yeah. Florida Gulf Coast got off to a rough start. North Alabama hung with them, but then Florida Gulf Coast put it on the end of the first half, start of the second half. They went on a huge run and really took North Alabama right out of the game. Yeah. I think we're in for a great game. Bellarmine and Florida Gulf Coast should be a really great game Thursday night.
Yeah, Lipscomb kind of didn't have too much trouble with North Florida. They kind of kept them at arm's length most of the game, and Stalica, Kennesaw was actually down bigger the first half to Eastern Kentucky, but had a great second half of that game.
A decent second half right here, and now they'll get to face one of the favorites in Jacksonville State coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, but that was the day in conference tournament action. We already mentioned the day outside of conference tournament action, which did include a late win by Florida over Vanderbilt as we've been recording this show. So, by the way, very much needed win for Florida at Vanderbilt. That
yeah, they really escaped in that one. They trailed with less than a minute to go. So Had they not won that one, they would have their status on the survival board may have been different.
It is the second day of the Northeast Conference tomorrow, though. Let's take a preview. We had Central Connecticut get the win, but now we get serious. We have four games. The first time a one seed has played so far. It's going to be coming up in some of these games tomorrow. But Central Connecticut, the nine seed, is at Bryant. SFBK is at Mount St. Mary's. SFPA is at Wagner. Sacred Heart's at Long Island. Those are the four NEC quarterfinals tomorrow. Dorman, what do you think? Do you foresee any road teams pulling off the wins here?
It's not going to come from Bryant or Wagner. I think those two sail right through to the semis. Mount St. Mary's is live in this tournament. I think they can give St. Francis Brooklyn, although that game is in Mount St. Mary's. So I got three home teams there. Sacred Heart, Long Island, a toss-up. If I had to pick it, I'd go Long Island. So as of right now, I like all four of the home teams, but two of them are definitely good close games.
Yeah, LIU did get a late-season win over Wagner. Of course, Fairleigh Dickinson did as well, and they didn't do that well. So maybe beating Wagner late in the season doesn't fare well.
Wagner has not been the same since that injury. I don't think they're going to have any trouble with St. Francis U or whatever they're calling themselves these days. But I still think we should call them STFU. That was great. But they don't like that. But I do think Wagner gets the win tomorrow, but they are going to sweat the Sharks in the semis if the chalk holds, I think.
Yeah, if the chalk holds. I don't know that I really want to pick it. I would not shock me if Wagner actually got upset, though, tomorrow night.
It wouldn't me either.
Really?
What a shame that would be, because this was a special kind of NEC team, and they still are, but they just have not been the same since losing their best player.
Yeah, well, not the second or third best player, but when Elijah Ford went down, they have not been the same team. But Sleeka, real quick, any other thoughts on the quarterfinals tomorrow?
Robert Morris used to be the team that would inexplicably make a run despite having a subpar season.
Well, they won tonight. They won tonight in a different conference.
In a different conference. By the same token, I would not be shocked if Wagner was told to STFU by St. Francis. But I do think Derek Kellogg in Long Island could be a bit of a dark horse to watch for. How hard is Kellogg laughing right now that he's going to be outlasting Matt McCall?
I got to get a little quicker on those buttons. Big South starts tomorrow. This is actually starts. The first game is actually 11:30 a.m. tomorrow. So wake up early if you're on the West Coast, at least. We have the first round game. These are going to be played in Charlotte. We have Radford versus North Carolina A&T, Asheville versus Charleston Southern, Hampton and High Point, Campbell and Presbyterian. Griggs, let me start with you. Anything that you're looking forward to in these four games tomorrow other than being able to watch an afternoon college basketball game?
That's the big thing. Radford, North Carolina A&T, new to the Big South, and I believe are they on their way out of the Big South now?
A&T is on the way to the Colonial already. Yep.
So they're really going places. They like moving conferences, so a short-lived stint in the Big South. Really, not to give these games their proper due, but I'm kind of just looking forward, already looking ahead to the quarters, because the teams that are on the collision course, I think, are Winthrop and Longwood.
Did you say Winthrop and Longwood?
We didn't get to see the first one. It occurred, but unless you had a ticket, you couldn't see it because the stream wasn't working.
Cup.
Yeah, the Wynwood Cup. Campbell and Presby. I thought Presby would be better in conference this year than what they were. I still think that they have a little bit of a ceiling. It wouldn't shock me if they beat Campbell, but all in all, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Well, Sleeka, who do you think is going to win this entire event?
I got to say, I don't like any of these teams in the quarterfinals.
I think I've alluded to it earlier, but with Winthrop having kind of a de facto home court advantage, I think there is going to be a bit of a revenge factor here because Longwood, they've had a great season, but this is going to be a totally different animal in a winner-take-all environment. And I have to give an edge to Mark Prosser's crew at Winthrop.
Yeah, Dorbert, I kind of like the Winthrop pick also because even though Longwood's had an incredible story, I don't have faith in them to win this, be able to win this event. I don't even know if they make the championship. They may get upset by Upstate in the semifinals.
Very possible. They haven't been here before, so we'll see how they take the pressure and the atmosphere and see if they can step up. But like Stalika said, it is going to be tough because they're basically, if they get to see Winthrop, it's going to be basically a road game. But it'll be interesting, and I don't think Gardner Webb is – I think Gardner Webb will be heard from before this is all said and done. I think they will be get a chance at Campbell, win that, and then let's see him play Winthrop.
You remember, Campbell was the preseason pick by most people to win this conference, though, so don't completely write off the Camels. I mean, Griggs already has them losing to the Blue Hose tomorrow, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Which means they're probably going to win this conference tournament because
– Probably so.
One more league starting tomorrow. It is first round day in the Ohio Valley Conference. We have Tennessee State against Edwardsville, Austin Peay against Tennessee Tech, games that are completely meaningless. But Dorman, are you even going to bother watching these two?
Not two of my favorite games on the board tomorrow, but starting right away Thursday when we get, I guess that's the quarters, this is going to get exciting quickly. I really like when Moorhead and Simo enter the picture and looking to fight on and see if they can get Murray State and Belmont. But I think this will get very interesting, very exciting. Ohio Valley basketball is always great in March, and starting Thursday night, look out. This will be really cool.
Yeah, I think may not be till Friday night that it really gets good, though.
Possible.
So, Stalika, because I think these two, whoever wins these two games tomorrow is just going to get thrashed on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be more of an appetizer right here, but Southeast Missouri State's been red hot. Moorhead State's going to be the defending champion, not going to go down easily. So,
Griggs, what do you think once we get to Friday, we bring Murray and Belmont in? Are we going to have a Murray-Belmont final? Is Murray going to win it?
Probably, but I don't know. Simo is red hot. Murray has, like, when Murray shows up, nobody can really beat them. I mean, they faced Belmont twice, beat them rather easily twice, blew them out, really, both times. And there's nobody else in the league that's close to being as good as Belmont. So I think that that's pretty definitive that when Murray plays up to their ceiling, they're going to beat anybody. But I kind of think they might struggle in that first game against Simo, assuming Simo gets by the Tennessee State Edwardsville winner. My dark horse to win this tournament is Simo.
I could see a Belmont knocking off Murray in the championship, but I don't see Murray losing to Simo. I just don't see it. But you know, it could happen.
Yeah.
That's it for the games tomorrow, for conference tournament games at least. There'll be regular season games as well. But let's jump over to our survival board.
Woo-hoo!
And this is, if you go up there, you can see all the conference tournament brackets. You could also see this survival board here. This is a tool we do, Griggs, correct me, for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee.
Yes, right? We do this for the Selection Committee. People are always wondering, what does the Selection Committee look at? How do they know what to look at? Well, they get it from this board. They come to this site. It's available on the internet in the room that they have. And this is basically a sorting tool for them or a guide for them. It's an index for them.
Right. So if you look here, for example, you look, there's teams that listen a different way. A lock is a team that is in no matter what. You see Duke and Houston, for example, right, Baylor down the bottom of the screen. Those teams are in no matter what. So if they think should they be in or not, they're in.
Yeah. And they don't have to think about it. They can just look at this site and be like, well, okay.
The teams that are in green, like Memphis and Carver Bible and Miami and North Carolina, those are teams to think about.
Who?
I'm seeing there in the ACC. And I see them in the A-Sun. I see them twice on this screen here. Carver Bible, they're everywhere now. I don't know what's going on.
I get the feeling that there's something fishy going on here.
I think we've got Carver one of those bugs.
Do we have their profile up, Chad?
Do we have their profile? I bet we can find their profile. Let's take a look here.
Yeah.
There they are.
Yeah.
Wow. Strongo at 24.
This is a lot of road games. Not a bad record at home this year. So
undefeated at home.
Yeah, and so they deserve a fair evaluation. But it's kind of odd that they. I didn't even. Anyway. Yeah. Carver-Weil.
Okay. But if you are green, that's a team that's under consideration. Black type or regular type, you can only get it with the under the auto bid. So like Boston College or Georgia Tech. And if you're in red. Shouldn't even be discussed. You will not be in no matter what, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Anyhow, heading into today, we had 336 teams eligible to still make and win the NCAA tournament. So as a result of today's games, let's find out what happened. 327 left.
We did some eliminations, yeah.
We did have 10 games today. That's only 9 teams because one of the teams that lost was North Alabama, who was already off of the board. They could not have actually made it because they were ineligible for games. But 327 teams left. That's about it. Do we go to – should we talk about our rivalry creator?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The rivalry creator. I forgot about this feature.
Yes, we have the rivalry creator here. We are encouraging you to tweet at us with any rivals that you think should be, should become a rivalry. So, for example,
any series,
For example, if you put in Winthrop and Longwood,
Now this is a rivalry, but this just demonstrates how it works.
The Wynwood Cup.
Yeah, wow. The Wynwood Cup.
And we could even double check on that, and it tells us they're 8 miles.
Eight miles,
they're in the NCAA turn.
That's pretty remarkable.
Get all those details. So let's kind of take a look here. We've got, we can take a look at a lot of things here. For example, we've got coming up tomorrow is the first round of the Big South. We discussed that earlier. If I can get this to work here, maybe we can show that Big South screen one more time. So let's take a look. For example, we see UNC Asheville and Charleston Southern. Not a big rivalry that most people know about, is it?
No, but it is. Most people don't know about it, but boy, let me tell you.
Well, let's let the computer tell us if UNC Asheville and Charleston Southern is a rivalry.
Conference game.
Let's find out. Computer, what do we got? The Char and Ash game.
Yes, the Char and Ash game.
All right. So this is a big one now. If you're a Charleston Southern Asheville fan, it's the Char and Ash game tomorrow. So you better be turning out and tuning in. Any other teams that you want to become rivals, you want Maine and Hawaii to be rivals, tweet at us. We'll find out something for him. All right.
Yeah. Should have gotten more tweets from Campbell and Presbyterian.
Campbell and Presbyterian, huh? Not this certain. We'll have to find out if they meet up. Maybe after tomorrow, we'll see. We'll see if the computer comes up with something for them. But on that note, let's run through any final thoughts. And Dorman, why don't I start with you?
2 years ago, we lost the tournament completely. Last year, it was good to be back, but when there were no fans in the building, it just didn't feel right. It wasn't the same. It didn't have the intensity. And now the championship week has started, and I understand it's the first round of some mid-majors, but the intensity in the buildings and the action and the kids jumping up and down and everyone sitting courtside and the place going crazy on big shots and defensive stops. It's awesome to be back. It's great to be at least on our way towards normal. I love to see the fans and the kids in the building. So I do think we're on our way back to normal. It's great to see. I can't wait for the next 2 weeks. And it's just going to be tremendous basketball.
And we're going to have court stormings like we just had it with Boise State just stormed the court in a win over Nevada. It was the Mountain West Championship. I'll give him a little credit for that. Stalika, any other final thoughts from you?
So for once, they are not going to have to go to the Dayton Marriott. But since Tytel is not here, we're going to have to supply a different fun fact here. And scanning the USC upstate roster, in the past, they've had Frank Martin's son on the team. But this year we have, head coach Dave Dickerson's son, who's actually a walk-on on the team and went to, wait for it, Dorman High School in South Carolina.
Yes. Yes, Delia.
Bam! All right. Craig, do you want to finish the show off?
Okay, yeah. Going back to the survival board, I'm just going to pull this up again real quick. You see it here. It's kind of like what Chad said. It tells the committee what they want to do. And people ask all the time, like, well, how does the committee know what to do? They get it from Hoops HD. And I know that this is a secret that they didn't really want me to share, but I just kind of want to, because the next question is, well, how does Hoops HD know? Where do they get their information from? And the answer is Brian Black. There he is. It's like, how did we know that Milwaukee was to be eliminated and not to be considered? Well, you go to Brian Black's Twitter account after every team loses a conference tournament game, and you see, is he wearing the jersey? Is their season done? That is kind of how we know. I'm sorry, Chad. I know you didn't want me to spoil that, let that out of the bag, but there's his Twitter account, 358 Jerseys for Hope. If you get a chance, follow him, read up on his story, and if you can, donate to his cause, because he helps us out a lot. We help the committee out. If it weren't for him, there would be no NCAA tournament.
Yes, and if you're a school out there that has not yet gotten him one of your jerseys, I don't really know how you make the tournament, because he can't be featured in tournament. So get him your jersey. On behalf now of David Dorman, David Griggs, John Stalica, everybody else that's around here, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow. We're going to do two podcasts tomorrow. We're going to be doing our normal Thursday evening bracket rundown show. We're going to do it tomorrow night, even though it's only Wednesday. And we'll do a video notebook at the end of the night. But thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be talking to you again twice tomorrow.